So we are reading from the chapter entitled Scheduled Incarnations. And there is a description of different incarnations, one after another, verse after verse. But right at the beginning of this chapter, Prabhupada is emphasizing on this point, how one should not be misled by bogus incarnations or so-called incarnations. And he says, what is the method of accepting someone as an incarnation? So specifically in this purport he mentions that the name of the mother and father and the place of appearance, everything should be mentioned in the scriptures. Otherwise one cannot just blindly accept anyone to be incarnation. Just like in the Chandogya Upanishad, there is a mention, Brahmanyo Devaki Putraha, there is also Vasudev Devaki names mentioned in the scriptures as parents of Krishna. Prabhupada often would, in his lectures, say, we have got the name of God, we have got the address of God, we have got the names of the parents of God also. How? So he used to quote that verse, Krishnaya, means God is Krishna. Vasudevaya means his son of Vasudev. So father's name is mentioned. There is no confusion. When you join a school or a college, they give a form. First you mention your name, then there is father's name. In America, they ask mother's name. Generally. Actually, because the families get diverse there easily. But here he is mentioning the name of mother, father is very important for the incarnation. That's a Krishnaya Vasudevaya. Somebody may say, oh, there may be many Vasudevas having many sons Krishna. Then he says, Devaki Nandanayacha. He is son of Devaki also. Now there is no more confusion. There is Devaki, there is Vasudev, and son is Krishna. But still, in order to make reconfirmation, he is saying, Nanda Gopa Kumaraya. He also becomes Ananda Gopa Kumar. He goes to Vrindavan. And Nanda and Yashoda become the foster parents of Krishna. So in this way, the scriptures declare who is an incarnation very explicitly, without any confusion. And why Prabhupada mentions this now, in the 12th canto of Bhagavatam, there is a mention that as the age of Kali sets in, there will be a lot of anomalies in this age of Kali. In the time of Yudhishthira Maharaja, at that time, it is said the cows were shedding, giving out so much milk that it was actually making all the sand muddy with milk. Milk mud, you will find everywhere. But in Kali Yuga, when Kali Yuga set in, Yudhishthira Maharaj found that the cows were drying up. They didn't have much milk. They were very lean and thin. They were standing. And earlier, Yudhishthira Maharaj found during Krishna's presence how the people were all very cooperative. People were all very brother and brother, and father and son, husband and wife. There was a great cooperation within the family and within the society also. But then Yudhishthira Maharaj found at one point of time suddenly there was quarrel between brother and brother for land. There was quarrel between father and son. And the husband and wife started developing hatred for each other, finding fault in one another. And he called Arjuna and asked, what is happening? Why? People are becoming like this. Yeah, because Kali Yuga had set in. And in this way, many, many symptoms are mentioned about how Yudhishthira Maharaja's rule was like a golden age when Krishna was present. And towards winding up period of Yudhishthira Maharaja's time, when Lord Krishna disappeared from this world, many things, many anomalies were found. And one of the anomalies in Kali Yuga is, as mentioned in 12th canto, that many common human beings will come forward and claim themselves to be God. They will claim themselves to be incarnation. Now, when we talk of religion, religion involves a lot of faith. Why do The chapal chores come to temple to steal chapal. The reason they know very well that people, when they come to temple, they have a lot of faith. You know, they have so much faith in God and everything, so they may put the chapal and go and take darshan. By then they come back, the shoes are stolen. You find like that. Or they can pickpocket people. Because they know that people have a lot of faith. A lot of faith is involved. Faith in sadhus, faith in the Lord, faith in everything. It's a place of faith. Temple is a place of faith. Naturally people put faith. And the sadhus are supposed to purely represent God and religion and the scriptures. So that those who put faith, that faith should be reciprocated by giving God to them when they come. And people should not get cheated when they come to... Actually, ultimately they are actually coming to meet God. Ultimately they want the shelter of God. So the sadhus are supposed to act as transparent via media. Like a transparent glass. So through the sadhus, people should be able to achieve God. That is the purpose. But oftentimes, taking undue advantage of this position, sometimes the so-called sadhus, those who pretend to be sadhus, they start using the faith of the people to promote themselves. It is called self-promotion. Because they become proud. They get many followers. At one point of time, they declare themselves to be God, Bhagavan. And you find, nowadays there are so many people calling themselves as Bhagavan everywhere, all over India. So many organizations are started. And many organizations, they claim their founder to be Bhagavan, many times. Actually, Shastras use the word Bhagavan for Narada, or Bhagavan for Shiva, for a specific purpose. They say a very great personality can be called as Bhagavan Narada also. Because he is transparent in representing the six opulences of the Lord through him so purely that by associating with that person one can achieve God. Like for example, you associate with a pure sadhu, you develop love for Krishna. You develop love for Ram. You develop love for Vishnu. By associating with them. So sometimes they are called Bhagavan. Not in the sense that Narada has become God now. And then you worship him just as you worship. You give him a flute. You give him a mukut. That is not done in the scripture. Have you ever seen Narada is coming to meet some king. He is giving him, please take a flute, take a mukut. You know, wear pitambar, dress opulently like Krishna and I will put jewelry on your body. No. But he is treated as a sadhu only. But, like we say, sakshat haritvena samastha shastraya. What is the meaning of that? We should treat Guru like we would treat God. But if the Guru claims himself to be God, he becomes a dog. Prabhupada used to say this. If a Guru claims, I am God, then he is no more fit to be a Guru any longer. Guru always should understand and proclaim with pride that I am servant of God. I am servant of God. God is great, I am small, and I am just connecting you to God. That is the right consciousness. So, Prabhupada used to say to his disciples many times, when he went to the West also, there were many bogus incarnations. Like once in the West, there was one supposedly incarnation of Rama and Krishna. About him, there was a lot of talk going on, and many people are becoming attracted and becoming followers. So one Govinda Dasi Mataji, she is this ISKCON devotee, she is distributing books with her book table. She is standing on a elevated position, platform, she is showing the books. And many people were surrounding the table and all. So one girl was asking, do you have any books of such that supposed incarnation of Rama and Krishna? Do you have any books? So she said, no, we have the books. We have this Bhagavad Gita as it is and other things she was showing. And then that girl, other girl in the audience, she was asking, do you know that so-and-so person is God, is incarnation of God? So Govindas immediately asked back, how can God be so ugly? She asked. God is supposed to be beautiful. He has all the six opulences. Have you seen Krishna, how he looks? He has a beautiful flute, he has a mukut, he has kundal, he is beautifully dressed and everything. How can this ugly man be called as God? And that girl in the audience, she became offended. She said back, she said, "Why are you not emanating love?" she asked. Then Govindas replied, "And that ugly man is killing you and I am trying to save you. Is it not love?" she asked. So don't go by what other people calling someone as God. So she was preaching to her strongly. And then when they all returned to temple, the news reached to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was so happy. Prabhupada said, "You should publish this in Bhakti Godhead magazine." And Prabhupada said, "You should give the title of the article, Heroine Govinda Dasi." How boldly she preached for the truth. And then Prabhupada said to disciples, if somebody does not reveal the truth about these bogus swamis and bogus babas who claim to be God, Prabhupada said, he's good for nothing. He said. And he said, if somebody in the name of being decent, not being straightforward, I can show you that quote of Prabhupada, what Prabhupada says there. He said, one should never fear to expose the truth. Somebody may say, if you expose the truth, what will happen? People may be misled. If you expose the truth, people may go away. See, what happens if you don't tell the truth? If you keep quiet, we want to hold the people so that they will be with us, correct? So that we can give them Krishna consciousness. On the other hand, if you expose the truth, if you speak the truth very frankly, some people may get agitated in mind, disturbed, and they may go away. But by not telling the truth, there's a likelihood that you may be cheating that person. For example, if somebody asks you, "Is Sai Baba Bhagavan?" They're calling us Sai Bhagavan Satya Sai Baba. You have to say, "He's not Bhagavan. Bhagavan has six opulences." It's a straightforward answer. And now if you don't want to give this answer to the people, you say, no, if you want, you can consider him as Bhagavan, it is all right. No, for you, he is Bhagavan. No. You don't have to go beat around the bush. It's a straightforward answer. Is it said in the scripture that Sai Baba is Bhagavan? If he is not, say he is not Bhagavan. Maybe he is a great saintly person. Maybe he is doing a lot of good for the world. Sai Baba has got some award or medal for reaching out food to so many people, reaching out some, starting schools and starting colleges, starting hospitals. Yes, they have done a lot of welfare activity. We also agree, we don't deny that. But just because somebody has done all these things doesn't make one Bhagavan. Bhagavan is much different thing. And if you don't tell the truth, like one of the boys was coming here, he came even up to 16 rounds. But he was never told the truth about this Sai Baba being Bhagavan. So what he did after coming to 16 rounds, he told to his counselor, "Now I am going to join Sai Baba mission full time. I want your blessings, Prabhu. So by your mercy, I am following four regulative principles and I am chanting Hare Krishna. Now I am going to join full time." And then that is the time this devotee was waving his hands and legs. He was telling, "Wait a minute, now I will tell you the truth and all." He said, "It is too late now. Because in the beginning I asked you, when I was chanting one round, you never told me anything. So I have been going there regularly. And I went there and most of my nourishment comes from there. And then from you I learned four regulative principles in chanting. Now I am going to join there full time." He is becoming Brahmacharya. So, if you don't tell the truth honestly in time, then we may be cheating people. For example, you all know, say somebody goes to a doctor, say he has cancer. Sometimes they tell the relatives that your relative has cancer. Now, the relatives are all afraid. Who will tell that person that he has cancer? For example, if a man has cancer, if the wife comes to know, she may faint. And then, now the wife can't tell him. Now the children can't tell the father. So, the friends also feel fear to tell him that he has cancer and he is going to die in 6 months or something. Who will tell him? At least if you tell him you have cancer, you will die in 6 months, he will start preparing for going back to Godhead. Those 6 months, just like Parikshit Maharaj was told, 7 days. At least he can be told that you have to do some homework. Otherwise, imagine if nobody tells him, suddenly he will die one day without any preparation. Isn't it? So, we have to tell the truth. Of course, we may try to tell it as sweetly as possible. But the truth should be told. Somebody may say, truth should not be spoken harshly. Okay, tell the truth sweetly. But the truth is truth. Truth cannot be denied. You know, one devotee, Satchabhadas Maharaj, wrote to Prabhupada, asking questions. Prabhupada, there is a talk, lot of talk going on in the area where we are preaching, that actually the Western world, they didn't know much about India, Indian world. But Satchabhadas Maharaj wrote a letter to Prabhupada asking, Prabhupada, they are saying that there is somebody called as Ramakrishna, who is incarnation of God. So many people are, our disciples are getting disturbed about this. Is it true? Is he an incarnation of God? Prabhupada wrote an elaborate letter in reply to this query of Satchabhadas Maharaj. Prabhupada said, you know, this Ramakrishna or Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, whatever he is called as, Prabhupada said, he worshipped goddess Kali, Durga, has been worshipping. Now you refer to the pages of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada said. What does Bhagavad Gita say? Antavattu phalam tesham tadbhavati alpamedasam, he says. According to Bhagavad Gita point of view, it is said that one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But here you find somebody is worshipping Durga. Now Durga is in charge of the material world. Durga is the mother not for the liberated souls, but for the conditioned souls. Prabhupada wrote. The conditioned souls, the material world, for them Durga is the mother. And what does she supply? She supplies only material facilities. She does not offer liberation to anyone. That's why you find Durga is having a trident in her hand, sitting on the back of a lion, and she is piercing the trident, representing adhyatmika, adhi bhautika, adhi devika, klesh, threefold miseries. She's giving miseries. When you go to spiritual world, there are no miseries. That is why Prabhupada said she is actually goddess of material nature, goddess of material world. And he said, this personality, he worships Durga as supreme. How can it be considered intelligence? He asked. And then he said, he had also asked a question about Vivekananda being his disciple. And Prabhupada wrote about Vivekananda. He said, he is actually, Ramakrishna is Gadadhar Das Chatterjee. Gadadhar Chatterjee, that was his name. Later on he came to be called as Ramakrishna. You know how? Because Gadadhar Chatterjee at one point of time started claiming himself to be Ram. I am Ram. I am the same Lord Ram who is son of Dashrath. He claimed like that. And Vivekananda added one more thing to that. He said, he not only accepted him as Ram, he also accepted him as Krishna also, Rama and Krishna. That's how his name came to be known as Ramakrishna, he said. And then Prabhupada said, when there are no scriptural credentials based on the scriptures, how can somebody be accepted on face value as Rama and Krishna? How can he be accepted? And Prabhupada said, say somebody, a man comes in the front and says, I am President Johnson, he says. Prabhupada is saying like that. And the other fellow says, yes sir, you are President Johnson, I salute you sir. Then both the guys are not intelligent, correct? And once Prabhupada did this in America also, one boy was claiming somebody to be incarnation, some guru to be incarnation of God. And Prabhupada said, okay, now I am telling you, I am President of United States, will you accept? And the boy laughed and said, Swamiji, how can you be President of the United States? You are a Swamiji. You are selling. And then Prabhupada said, you see, I am only telling you I am President of the United States. Even that much you are not ready to accept. But your guru is telling that he is God. In front of God, President of the United States is not even a mosquito. So if I cannot be that mosquito, how can I be God? Does it make any sense? He asked. And then this was Prabhupada asked, how can somebody who accepts Gadadhar Chatterjee to be God be considered very intelligent? He asked. And then he also said, we don't find the acharyas supporting this evidence, what you are saying. If somebody is called as God, the acharya should confirm based on the scriptures. Based on all the revealed scriptures, we don't find this person as God at all. And one is oneself worshipping the devata, demigod devatas. And Prabhupada said Saraswati, Lakshmi, Ganesh, and Shiva, and all those different devatas are worshipped not by the pure devotees of the Lord. The pure devotees may worship the devatas, but to get Krishna, ultimately. Otherwise they will not worship. Like I read a pastime recently. I heard that there was one Hemamali, a person who was working with Kubera near Mount Kailash. This Hemamali was a person working in the garden of Kubera. You know, the garden of Kubera is very beautiful. There are waterfalls, there are beautiful lakes flooded with lotuses and everything. So the Hemamali was working in that garden as a gardener. And every day he used to pluck some 300 lotus flowers and then go and offer it to Lord Shiva. He was a great devotee of Shiva. And he worshipped for almost 5,000 years. Because in those days they had 100,000 years people would live in Satyayuga. He offered 300 flowers every single day to Lord Shiva. And he would bow down. And after a long time, Lord Shiva appeared. So when I read this pastime, I was so happy because we are also offering flower every day. And even though sometimes we may become mechanical, we may not have the consciousness. So offering flowers, see the great blessing of offering flower to Krishna. So he was offering flowers to Shiva, and Shiva appeared and he said, "Oh intelligent gardener, I am very pleased with you." And he said, "Tell me, what boon can I offer you?" And Hemamali said, "I have been having a great desire in my heart for a long time." He said, "Please bless me that Lord Sri Krishna will come to my home. He will visit my home." That was his prayer. And then when and Lord Shiva said, "Tadastu, you will get it." And then when Hemamali passed away, the next lifetime he became Sudama, the florist. In whose home who came? Lord Krishna came. And that is why you find when Krishna Balaram appear in his house, he makes a beautiful garland for them and offers them a garland. And Lord becomes very, very pleased. And Lord blesses him that in this life you will get all that you need to live a happy life. And at the end of your life, you will come back to me. And Krishna gave him Swarupya Siddhi. He gave him pure spiritual form, which is transcendental form. Krishna offered him. So, somebody may worship Shiva, but ultimately to get Krishna. Like you find the gopis are worshipping Katyayani to get Krishna as their husband. So, Prabhupada is telling, nobody worships this kind of devatas, and there is no evidence in the scripture that by worshipping a devata we can become an incarnation. No. Nobody becomes an incarnation by worshipping devata. Nobody becomes incarnation of God by worshipping some devatas like this. So Prabhupada very frankly explained about this. Now if you see these two names which I told you, in India they are pretty famous. In fact, I can tell you, in my personal life, in my early days, in my school days, 7th or 8th standard, those were the books which I got in the early days. And I was reading them for many years. See, when you read the books of some sadhu, any type of sadhu, some XYZ sadhu, anybody, you read the books, we develop some sentimental attachment to them. There is a tendency in us. We develop sentimental attachment. And then, because we have started accepting those books, because we have started liking that person, we put a wall around ourselves and we refuse to accept any contrary evidences against them. Because there is a sentimental covering around us. We refuse to see the truth. So later on when one ISKCON devotee was telling me these truths about these people, I got angry. I got very upset. I said, "How can you call this person as a sadhu?" He's a sadhu. How can you call? So there was certainly a kind of back and forth tussle, argument. But one thing that argument did, because of that kind of argument, I developed some anger towards the devotee on one hand. But when I came back, it put me to thinking. What it put me to thinking? I wanted to prove that these two are very great personalities. And they are ultimately leading one to God, and or even this Rama and Krishna is ultimately God only, or whatever. Or impersonalism is the ultimate. So in order to prove it, I tried to take many references and everything. In the course of that, I met many, many devotees and started checking with them and arguing with them. So it led to a lot of discussion and ultimately came to the right conclusion. But if somebody didn't tell me, I don't know where I will be now. And because you know, Devi Tika, Obi Tika, Sapuch Tika, Sab Chalta Hai. Actually, you cannot be a man of character by saying everything is alright. very difficult. Because you will find that people of character, they will have to have some strong stand in something. They'll find that. They have to be on one side. Like for example, you are on this side, I am on this side. Otherwise, you cannot say, sapkuchtika, everything is all right. You can do this also. Like Prabhupada says, you know, some people preach that, you know, that fellow also preached, yato mat, tato pat. You can follow any path you want. In India, people expect if you are a sadhu, somebody comes to you, you are a sadhu, you know, then you should speak very politely, you should give a smile and you give a, you know, nodding your head and waving the hand and then send them back, give some ashirvada and send them back. People think like that. The sadhu should not speak harshly. The sadhu should not speak the truth so bluntly. And just like the girl was telling, you are not emanating love. Yeah, when a mother has to feed the medicine to the child, you know, mother seems to be the most cruel personality in the whole world. Have you seen mothers? See, mothers love the child so much, but if they want to feed the medicine, you will see they will catch the child and put the child on the lap. Child will be crying, quack, 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 he will be crying. She will open the mouth, put the medicine inside, and catch the hands and legs. And child will try, boop, like that, it will try to spit out the medicine. She will give a slap, pat, pat, and again put the medicine in the mouth. And I'm going to now spit now. If you spit now, another slap I'll give you. Isn't it? You've seen mothers, how they feed the medicine, Yeah, it's not a very easy job. Now the mother wants to be gentlemanly to the child. She says, my dear child, I'm politely requesting you, please kindly take this medicine. I will not come near you. Here is a medicine bottle, you yourself take it. Child will give a kick and he'll go off. He'll throw away the bottle. Child will say, the best place this medicine can be is in the dustbin. Dustbin, isn't it? So, feeding medicine to your child is not a very easy thing. It's a painful thing. That has to be done. Similarly, all of us, we want to be good people. Yes, we can be good for some period of time, but after that, a time will come and people will ask questions. People are going to many sadhus nowadays. Nowadays in television, it's freely available in the morning. And these sadhus, they get crores of rupees also. They have following, big following. Why they have very big following? Because they have no rules and regulations. Like you can smoke, you can take tobacco, you can drink, you can do whatever you want. Only thing is, you know, they will give you a poti which you can keep in your pocket. And the poti will be glorification of the sadhu as a god. Like they have converted the Vishnu Sahasranam into Sai Sahasranam. And then you can glorify some sadhu and then you can keep in your pocket. You can keep one side his photo, one side your photo. Keep, yeah. That's all you have to do. You accept him as God and you can do whatever you want in your life. And so who will not want to follow such a thing? Because Prabhupada says if you want to be cheated, then Guru Krishna also sends a cheating Guru. One disciple asks Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what are you saying? If you want to be cheated, you will be getting a cheating Guru. A disciple asks Prabhupada, who will want to get cheated, Prabhupada? Nobody in this world wants to get cheated. Prabhupada said, no. Prabhupada said, there are people who want to get cheated. How is it? Is there anyone here who wants to get cheated in life? How bad we feel if somebody cheats us? How angry we become if somebody cheats us, isn't it? But Prabhupada still said, there are living entities who want to get cheated. You know how? Those living entities who want to enjoy sense gratification and they want a guru who will be fanning that desire without telling the truth, they are the living entities who want to get cheated. Such living entities, what they do? You go to their home, they will be having some big photograph of some Guruji. And Prabhupada used to tell, don't make your guru a dog. Why? Because these people used to call gurus, oh Guruji, all our relatives have come, 40 people come now. And then they can say that, you know, we also have a Guruji. And then Guruji, you know, gives ashirvad to everyone, nodding the head and everything, gives a big smile and takes some 5 lakh rupees donation and goes off. Without telling any truth to the people. He is only for giving ashirvad and accepting donation, that's all. He will never tell the truth at all. And he keeps them in darkness. And where do they go? After death, they go to hell. Because they never knew the truth. They never understood the truth at all. So, we have to know, like, you know, there are so many well-wishers and donors coming to temple nowadays. It is not enough for us to just show them Balaji. See Balaji, how is Balaji smiling beautifully. This is Balaji, and this is Radha Kunji Bihari, and this is Prasadam. How is your son? How is your daughter? How is your business? Hare Krishna, nodding the head and sending them away. We are cheating by doing this. Don't cheat people. Huh? Tell them the truth. You have to tell them, you are not the body, you are the soul. Huh? This is the most fundamental knowledge. Krishna is God. Huh? And we are servants of Krishna. Birth after birth we are suffering. Krishna Bhulya Sayji, Vanadi Bahirmukha, Ateva Maya Deya, Samsara Dukha. Because you and I, we both have forgotten Krishna. We are suffering in this world. Are we not suffering? We have to tell the people we are suffering. You can tell it very sweetly, just like our Navayindra Swami says. We went to one home where we did a program. The song was so good, everyone was clapping hands, but the meaning of the song was, you living in it, you are mischievous, that's why you are suffering in this world. You have forgotten Krishna. That's why we are suffering in this world. And what is the way to get out of suffering? To surrender to Krishna. Unless we tell the people the truth, how will they be elevated above suffering? Don't we want to see them going back to Krishna? And only we want to go back? If we want them to give donation and go, so we accept money and we build a temple and we enjoy spiritual life and they will be in darkness. We have to tell them the truth. Palatably or unpalatably, whatever way. But the truth has to be conveyed. Slowly or... But it should not be so slow that you don't tell them for the next 10 years. Because otherwise they will be in darkness. We shouldn't keep people in darkness. So, what is the last point I was saying just before this point? People who want to get cheated, they get a cheating guru. So, guru is also a cheater and disciple also is a cheater. Like Paksan Saraswati tells an example, sometimes the prostitutes, they go to the holy places like Vrindavan, such places. And sometimes they see a sadhu, saintly person, just like Menaka was alluring Vishwamitra. Why a woman will be interested in a sadhu? Because she thinks, you know, if I have a child through this sadhu, then my child will be a saintly child. It will be a very great child. So sometimes the prostitutes go to the holy places like Vrindavan and search for mendicants. Mendicants are alone, but no one is around. They go and try to seduce them. And poor fellows, if somebody is a weakling, they may fall down. And they may also get into wrong behavior. And then the prostitute can get a child. So this is known to some thieves who go to holy places. So the thieves decorate themselves as sadhus. And they are sitting under a tree looking for whether anybody is coming. Any lady is coming. And then some ladies come and they say, okay, don't worry, I will give you a child. But actually they are thieves. So this is called as cheaters and the cheated. She is trying to cheat the sadhus and the so-called sadhu thief is cheating her. So the whole world is a place of cheaters and the cheater. Bhaksan Saraswati used to tell this. So in the same manner, there are many Bhagavans cropping up in Kali Yuga. Why? Because Kali Yuga people want to get cheated. So they get cheated very easily. So cheating gurus come for them. But at least we should not become one. We have to be straightforward. And Prabhupada said, we don't accept anybody as such incarnation. We accept Krishna as God. Based on what? Based on the scriptures. You can get scriptural evidence. You can see. All the acharyas, Ramanuja, Madhva, you will find they all proclaim Krishna to be God. Krishna himself claims to be God. And Krishna showed the Visharupa Darshan. Bhagavad Gita is an authentic scripture based on which you accept Krishna as God. And we also accept Krishna's words also. Not only accept Krishna, we accept his words, which is Bhagavad Gita also. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says very clearly, what is the meaning of God? What it means for someone to be God? It's not a joke that anybody can call. Like in Bombay, you know, two brothers, their elder brother is saying, I am Jagannath and my younger brother is Baladev. And my sister is Subhadra. He's saying that. Three of them, they are keeping their sister in between and saying, I am Jagannath and Baladev Subhadra. Anybody comes to them, they do like this. They give Ashirvad like this. And and many people are thinking, because he is keeping hand like this, maybe he is Jagannath. It is simply based on some sentimental faith. Simply blind faith. This is called as blind faith. We cannot put blind faith in people like that. Otherwise we will be misled. We will never come to know the truth. In India, generally we find many gurus having millions of followers, they generally are only Ashirvad gurus, generally. They don't give knowledge to people. When I was in South India also, I have seen many Big Swamis, they will sometimes come in a big rath or something, carried and from everyone will be falling on the ground, respecting, offering obeisances, they'll give ashirwad. In those days, we used to think spiritual life means it is meant only for a chosen few. Swamis like this. And other millions of people, they have to be in samsaris only. They have to be in the material world. Continue with your samsara and go to hell. Those who go to God are only very few like the Swamis, that's all. That's all we used to think. And we go to temples. When that Swami would come, the Swami would come and give ashirwad and go away. After that, there will be an orchestra where they will sing cinema songs. All this crowd will be sitting, clapping hands for cinema songs, giving out whistles. And that is for the masses. And this Baba is giving ashirwad to all the people just showing hand, and to see him, there's a very huge crowd. He is not giving any enlightenment to the people at all. He is not even telling them, you are not the body, you are the soul. What is God? And what to speak of telling them about Vaikuntha, telling them about material world to be a place of suffering, telling them about reincarnation. They don't tell anything. So association means there should be knowledge transmission, spiritual discussion, heart transformation. Three things. There should be transfer knowledge from the guru to the disciple. There should also be spiritual discussion. There should be asking questions and getting answers. There should be that. And also there should be heart transformation. It's not that a guru, touches the disciple on the head. Immediately there is some very big lightning, thunderbolt or something. And then all the knowledge from the guru has become transferred to the disciple. And guru is bereft of knowledge now, is crying, this fellow has taken away all my knowledge. Prabhupada is saying it's not like that. One purport Prabhupada is writing that. This is not guru-disciple relationship. Prabhupada is saying guru-disciple relationship means it is not by some electric touch or something. It is Shabda Praman, should come from the mouth of the guru. And it should be heard by the disciple. And the disciple hears it, thinks about it, contemplates on it. And he gets awakened, he asks questions. And all his kalmash or misunderstandings are removed. What is that? Prema bhakti yaha hoite avidya vinashi jate. That is heart transformation. When heart is transformed, then the disciple gives up sense gratification. Then I have been to so many gurus who never told me the truth before coming to ISKCON. Many gurus have been there, never told me that you have to give up sense gratification if you want God. They never told me. You will rarely find books which tell you this truth. First of all, I never heard this term only, sense gratification. Only in Prabhupada's books I found it. Prabhupada says, you are not the enjoyer. You are not the proprietor. You are not the supreme controller. Yes, you are a controller, but you are a controller like an ant. Even an ant is a controller. From ant up to Brahma, everyone is a subordinate controller. Who is the ultimate controller? Krishna. When I first heard it, it hurt my ego. I thought, what is this? This Swamiji is saying that you are not the ultimate controller. He is saying that from ant to Brahma, no one is a controller. And then I read further. Prabhupada said, as soon as you are controlled, you are not God. He said. And then he said, I saw one Swamiji who claimed to be God, but once he got a toothache and his cheeks became swollen, big. One side like that, it became very big. And he was catching his tooth and crying. Ooh, he was crying. At the same time, while talking to other people, he claimed to be God and he was giving ashirwad also with another hand. Ashirwad with one hand and ooh with another hand. What he was doing. Prabhupada says, what kind of God is this person? He cannot control his toothache and he claims to be God. Just see. So, it was really a surgical operation for me when I read it first. Because it was, cleaning the impurity in our minds. Because most of the Swamis preaching in India, they tell people that the Atma so Paramatma. The Atma and Paramatma are same. The Atma in the bodies of all the people is ultimately only one Supreme Brahman, which is impersonal. So indirectly they are telling people that you are God, I am God, everyone is God. Time is only separating us. This body shell is there, which is like a gada, which is like a pot. Once this pot is broken, you become a realized soul. Then you will merge into Brahman, you will become God. That's what people teach, everyone. Because of that, many people in the conditioned stage itself, they think, I am God. That means I should enjoy life. People are thinking like that. That's why the suffering souls are kept in the platform of suffering only. Because they never told the truth. The living entity can never become God. In fact, And Mahaprabhu said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Danditare Yama, he says. Sannyasi, Chitkana Jeev. He says, Sannyasi is like a Chitkana Jeev. He's a tiny spark of Jiva. It's like there is sun and there is spark of sun. If you take some water and throw it in the spark of sun or fire, it will get extinguished. But you throw buckets of water in the sun, it will never get extinguished. Because Krishna is Mayadish. So two things I said. One is under Maya and one is above Maya. Krishna is above Maya and we are under the custody of Maya. Like that. Sanyasira Chitkanaji, Surya Kirana Sama, he said. But if somebody claims, I am the Surya, I am Krishna Surya Pama, he says. Krishna is actually like Surya, but if somebody claims, I am Surya, he is Danditare Yama, he says. He deserves to be beaten by the stick of Danda. Danda of whom? Yamaraj, he says. So, this truth is taught by Prabhupada very frankly. Living entity can never claim to be God. No ordinary human being can claim to be God. Whether he be a so-called guru or ordinary jiva, they can never claim to be God. So this truth should be, in fact, what a guru should do, the duty of a guru is to help the disciple develop love for that actual God, Supreme God. I was reading another pastime in the same lines, that there was one Shiradvaja king. He was a very great devotee of Lord Ram. So once when Lord Ram came to Mithila, and he broke the bow, and he was given the hand of Sita. And the marriage was to happen very soon, in a few days. So the Shiradvaja king called one tailor and he told him that, please kindly stitch a beautiful dress for weaver, he called. And he told him, please stitch a very beautiful dress for Lord Ram. It should be the best dress possible. You should utilize your full talent, he said. Like all of us, we are talented in some field, isn't it? And say somebody tells you, you are already talented in this field, but you give me the best output. So the king said, give the best of the dresses possible with all embroidery and everything. So the tailor prepared the dress and gave it to the king. And the king gave it to Lord Ram. And on the day of Sita Ram's marriage, Lord Ram was wearing. And the tailor also went for the marriage to see. So from a distance he saw Lord Ram. Lord Ram looked so beautiful. For Lakshman and Ram he had made the dress. Lakshman and Ram, they were shining like sun and moon, so beautiful. And immediately the love in his heart became awakened for Ram and Lakshman. At that time a desire arose in his heart. How nice it will be if I can stitch a dress and put the dress on these two lords, myself with my own hand personally. You have to remember, before this stage, he didn't have any love for Ram. But who had love for Ram? The Chiradvaja Raja. He had love for Ram. But now that love has become transferred from the heart of Shiradvaja king to the tailor's heart. How? By rendering seva. He rendered some seva, inspired by the spiritual master. We render service. We don't have love for Krishna or Ram. But inspired by the guru, we render service. But when we render service, what happens? Love awakens in our heart. So he developed a desire. And as soon as the love awoke, Lord Ram or Lord Krishna is present in the heart of everyone as super soul. Lord Ram recognized. So Lord Ram blessed him also, although he didn't speak a word to him. In the next lifetime, the same weaver he became, a weaver in Mathura, waiting to meet Lord Krishna. When Krishna entered Mathura, that is the time Krishna Balaram came, and he could personally pick and choose the best of the dresses and show to Krishna Balaram, do you like this clothes? And he liked it, and he made a dress, beautiful dress, and he personally put it on the body of Krishna and Balaram. And then he became blessed also. He also attains Swarupya Siddhi, tailor also. So you see, then one attains the spiritual world. These are all stages. The initial stage we have no love, then inspired by the guru we get love. When we get the love in the heart, then we are inspired to do more and more service. And when we keep on entering service, just like he says, when will the time come when I will take a chandan and apply on the beautiful fair and black faces of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan? When will the time come when I will take the chamar and hand it over to Lalita and Vishakha so that they can render service to the divine couple, Radha and Krishna? These kind of songs we see, these are abhilasha, expressing one's abhilash. So guru's duty is to increase such abhilashas in the heart of the disciple. Increase such hankering for Krishna, the heart of the disciple. Not to put himself in the front as a hero and say that I am God, you worship me only. You see, Prabhupada's deity is in front of Krishna, you see. And what is Prabhupada doing there sitting? He is taking darshan of Krishna. This is what Prabhupada wanted. Not that Prabhupada said, you know, you don't have Krishna, Radha Krishna, you don't have Gaurinitya, you put me there. And in the temple, no place for Lakshmi Narayan or Sitaram or Radha Krishna. I will be in the center and let all people worship me. He never said that. You go to some missions, you go there inside, in the temple, there is no Radha Krishna. There is no Lakshmi Narayan. There is no Sitaram. Whom do you find there? You find the Guruji sitting there. And the mission is also named after the Guru only. And everyone worships Guru. So I went to one mission like that. So I asked one old man who was a volunteer there. He asked him, where is Radha Krishna, Sitaram, Lakshmi Narayan? You have not put anybody. You are worshipping this deity of only Guru. In this big temple, Vishal temple with a big dome in Pune only. Huh? You will see that. Huh? I asked him, because we had gone to see different construction of different, you know, how they have ashram and everything. So we went to see a group of devotees, we went to see that. So we asked him, he said, no, this is Thakur you are selling. Whom he is calling as Thakur? Calling Guru as Thakur. My Lord, it's a big offense. Huh? Thakur is Krishna. Huh? You cannot call, you cannot make Guru into Krishna. And one very famous person who comes in the TV in the morning with a beard. Huh? So this person, he puts a mukut, he puts a kundal, and he takes a flute, and in his very famous magazine that he brings out, in the cover page they have put the picture. And they are saying, this is Krishna Vesh. Today our Guruji is in Krishna Vesh. And they are giving like that. He is giving darshan as Krishna, darshan as Durga and different things. There is one mother also, one famous mother in India who gives different darshanas. And so they have a stage also, altar, and everyone is waiting, Guruji is going to give special darshan today. They open the stage and the Guruji is like Durga today. You know, sometimes like Radharani, sometimes like Krishna, sometimes like Narayan, some extra fiber hands attach from behind. Yeah, they do that. This is all real thing, I'm telling you. See, for us it is a joke. Huh? But if you go there, for those people it's real. Huh? Yeah. See, when we were not into the Krishna consciousness movement, we were also sentimentally having faith in many of those people. Huh? You go to this JM Road. Yeah? If you go to the JM Road, you'll find it. There is a Vishnu temple, so-called Vishnu temple. If you go inside, they have made Guruji into Vishnu. There is no Vishnu there. Because the Guruji himself is made into Vishnu, that's all. They are not worshipping God. So, unfortunately, the people are getting misled. Practically in hundreds and thousands and millions, unfortunately. So Prabhupada is writing, in order to guard against the invention of unauthorized incarnations of God, by the fanciful, less intelligent persons, the name of the father of the bona fide incarnation is also mentioned in the authorized revealed scriptures. No one therefore can be accepted as an incarnation of Lord if the father's name, as the name of the village or the place in which he appears, is not mentioned by the authorized scriptures. A sane man therefore does not accept any cheap edition of an incarnation without reference to the authorized scriptures. Sometimes when we come to spiritual life, we will be forced to change some of our wrong notions. Like I was thinking that fellow whom I was, whose books I was reading was God. Later on by reading Prabhupada's books and meeting devotees, gradually I became awakened. And it is very painful for us to discard some opinions we had before and to accept new opinions. Like Prabhupada also met his Bhaksan Saraswati Guru in Ultadanga. Matha in Calcutta. At the time, you know, his Guruji was telling Prabhupada, go out and preach the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada was thinking, what is he saying? You know, in India there is Jallianwalabagh massacre, which was over some time ago, and there is such upheavals in the society. There is Hindu-Muslim riots are going on. The British people are subjugating the Indians. It was before Indian freedom. And he thought, this Swamiji is sitting in this Ultadanga that Matha inside a small place in a small within four walls and is declaring a statement, go and preach message of Lord Chaitanya while the whole India is in turmoil. He thought like that, and then he raised an objection and he said, how are you saying that we should preach this message? Who is going to take the message of Lord Chaitanya seriously at this stage? And then Bhaksan Sarthi had such conviction in this truth. He said, the message of Krishna consciousness is so urgent, it's such emergency, it cannot wait. It doesn't depend on who is ruling. Do you know? At that time, Germans also wanted to capture India. Do you know that? Chinese wanted to capture also. Now, even Chinese had a war with India at one time. Even Pakistanis wanted to capture India. Everyone. Of course, that time Pakistan was not there at that time. So, he said, one lion goes and another tiger comes. You know, we will be under somebody's rule. That will be going on. But he said, Krishna consciousness cannot wait. It is the topmost emergency. It should be preached immediately. Every living being, whether it be Indian or American or British, everyone is suffering. We have to preach now. So, when Prabhupada saw the conviction of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he understood one thing. Put Krishna consciousness first. After putting that first, then you can have all your other concerns. But if you put our political concerns first, we will never arrive at the solution. This was the understanding Prabhupada got after that. Although, and Prabhupada says, he defeated me, he says. But the defeat, I felt very joyful to be defeated by my guru. And then when he was going down the staircase, when he was going back, he, in his own heart, he accepted him as his spiritual master, happily. And then he said to his friend, Naren. Naren asked, I told you, that I am taking you to your great guru. He is not an ordinary guru. He is a very special guru, I told you. So how did you feel this meeting with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati? And Prabhupada said, I am very happy that the message of Lord Chaitanya is in the right hands. He said, he was very happy. And then eventually he surrendered to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So, actually this is a leela of Prabhupada. Prabhupada performs a pastime to teach you and me, to teach us. Because great personalities like Prabhupada, who are Nitya Siddhas, can never be bewildered by illusion to become a Desh Bhakta, to have Desh Prem. But he is playing this pastime to teach us, because in India there are a lot of Desh Premis. To give them Krishna Prem, Prabhupada performed this pastime in his life. So we can understand how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati taught him Krishna Prem is far above and Desh Prem is on bodily consciousness, bodily platform. So just as he pronounced the truth, we have to present the truth as politely as possible. But we have to tell the people the truth and lit up the torch lid of knowledge. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya. Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. We should not keep people in darkness. We have to bring them out of darkness. And also people will be very grateful to us if we lit up the torch lid of knowledge and tell them the truth. Sometimes they may painfully come to know the truth. What to do? If they painfully come to know that, somebody whom I was following as a guru is a cheater, they may come to know. There are some gurus who are smoking ganja and they are sitting in an asana and giving darshan to their followers. But they are smoking ganja and they are accepted as a very big, big guru. Whole villages follow them. They go to meet the guru who is smoking ganja and giving darshan. In Maharashtra it's very famous. Now you may ask, why are the villagers following him? Because they are blind. They are sentimental. They cannot ask questions. After so much of education, we should not be sentimental and blind. We should ask questions. How can a guru smoke ganja? Where is the Shastra saying that guru is allowed ganja to smoke? Or how can he be called as God? We should ask these questions. And when we ask questions, then because the Bhagavad Gita is full of question answers. Arjuna is asking question, Krishna is giving answer. Parikshit is asking question in Bhagavatam and Shukadeva Goswami is giving answer. Shravanakadi Rishis are asking questions to Suta Goswami and Suta Goswami is giving answer. We will see that. Prabhupada in different purports is highlighting different vital, important aspects of the philosophy for relieving us from our diseases, diseased mentality and making us spiritually healthy. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki
jai.
Thank you very much.